The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha. Homage to the Dharma. Homage to the Sangha. Today I'm going to talk about working with fear. Seems like a good time to talk about working with fear. Well, everyone has fear arise sometimes. It's kind of hardwired into us to be afraid in certain circumstances. Like when we're in physical danger from some obvious and immediate threat like fire, flood, earthquake, so on. Well, now we have this coronavirus that's spreading around the world and people are really scared, very much afraid. And we hear about people getting into fights because somebody sneezed on somebody or inadvertently brushed against somebody else and ending up in a fist fight. People cleaning out all the toilet paper in the universe because they're afraid. I don't know quite why that is, so there we go. A little bit odd, because people, when they're afraid, aren't always thinking clearly. The Buddha on the altar is showing us how to deal with fear. This is a very common image. He's sitting in meditation with one hand in the meditation mudra and the other hand bestowing fearlessness. This is not a stop sign like that. It's a gentle mudra saying, don't be afraid. There's nothing to fear. It's all right. This gentle, soft bestowing of kindness and fearlessness. And we often see images of the Buddha doing this. Gentleness and compassion in the face of fear. As Buddhists, we know that things are constantly changing. Nothing lasts forever. There's nothing that we can keep hold of. Everything comes and goes, including ourselves. No completely safe place where we can hide ourselves away. We can't hide from life or death. Well, with this virus, we've been asked to stop gathering in large groups, to practice social distancing. I hate that, social distancing. Not getting too close to each other, to isolate ourselves if we've been exposed to the virus and all that. But we don't have to cut ourselves off from other people. And here at the Abbey, sadly, we've cancelled or postponed our retreats for the time being. We've closed our doors. We didn't want to do that, but here we go. It seems responsible. We're trying to comply with what the health department has asked us to do. And we don't want to endanger anyone by insisting on doing what we'd like to do. We want to hold our retreats and we don't care. We're not going to do that. So we're just, like everybody else, trying to do our best to do our part. And we're hoping it's just a temporary measure and that soon we can open our doors again and welcome everybody back. This is what we hope. We'll see what happens. But we're trying to do our bit. And we don't want to shut ourselves away from everybody. We might close our doors, but we don't have to close our hearts. And that goes for everybody, for all of us. We may have to keep a physical distance, but we can still care deeply about each other, here in the community, in our town, in our world. Like many other Buddhist temples, we're planning to put our events online as much as we can, so that people can still feel connected to us. We're available to talk by phone and email because we want to keep connected with people. We want to do our part and stay connected with people. I think it's very important. Fear cuts us off. It isolates us and makes us think only about ourselves. That's what's normal with fear. We put a little wall around us and think in terms of me and everybody else out there. Or me and the people I love. A bit wider, but still it's a wall and everybody else out there. And it's understandable, but fear tends to solidify our sense of self, our sense of me. Not a good thing. But still it's normal, it's understandable. Fear does that to us, it cuts us off. And with this virus, of course, we have to physically isolate ourselves somewhat, so we have to really work at not cutting our hearts off. The greatest teaching of Buddhism is compassion and kindness, that we can all practice is the very best antidote to fear. Helps us to dissolve that seeming wall of self. And we can all do this. All of us can practice this. We've just done our transfer of merit ceremony that we do quite often. It's for the benefit of all those beings who are suffering and need help and blessings. And also all for all those who are trying to help other beings in practical ways. For all beings, in fact. Offering merit for everybody. Or human, animal, other. Those living, those who've died. Past, present, and future, as we said. Everybody can use merit, especially in these times. So we are trying to really bump up our merit, as it were. And we're not the only ones. The Director General of the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros, I can't pronounce the rest of his name, but Dr. Tedros is a good start. He's got some very wise and kind words for us all. He says, if you feel overwhelmed by fear, reach out to those around you. See how you can help. I think it's wonderful advice from the head of the World Health Organization, like the biggest, you know, persona, as it were, in this whole health thing. This kind and wise advice. But if you feel overwhelmed by fear, reach out to those around you. See how you can help. Well, for some of us, this is helping in practical ways. And for some of us, it's sitting still. We're not out there. We're not doctors and nurses. We're some monks. We're lay trainees. We're Buddhists. We try to make our help sitting still, keeping up our training, practicing kindness to those around us, not giving into anger and blame and seeing everybody else as a threat, cutting ourselves off. It's a real help to do that, and we can trust that our doing our training, doing our practice, even if we can't be with people so much, it really helps. It permeates those walls of self and fear and all that. Again, Dr. Tedros says, let hope be the antidote to fear. Let solidarity be the antidote to blame. Let our shared humanity be the antidote to our shared threat. He said this when he saw people getting angry and, you know, victimizing other people and fighting and blaming people and so forth. Let our shared humanity be the antidote to our shared threat. Let us come together and help each other in this world. Wonderful advice. Fear is very understandable. We all have it. And when it arises, we need to treat it with kindness and understanding, whether it's our own fear or somebody else's. Treat it with kindness and understanding. It doesn't help to react to somebody else's fear with blame or anger, or even our own fear, not blaming or being angry at ourselves because we're afraid. Just be kind and patient with ourselves and other beings. Patience. Patience. We don't know how long this virus and all this state of affairs is going to last, how long it'll be until we can go back to somewhat normal. So we need to practice patience. Everybody's doing the very best they can, no matter what it looks like. Even when they get angry and upset, or when we get angry and upset, people are trying to do their best. We're trying to do our best. So let's be patient and kind with other people and with ourselves. It's really important at this time. Because it's so easy to get irritable or prone to anger when we're afraid, because anger is usually based in fear. Sitting still, our wonderful practice of sitting still. As the Buddha said, when fear arises, sit still. There's a lovely thing. He doesn't talk about fear a whole lot, but he said, before he became the Buddha, when he was still practicing, he said, if I was sitting in meditation, when fear and dread arose within me, I would sit still until that fear and dread dissolved. If I was walking, I would continue to walk until that fear and dread dissolved. If I was lying down, I would lie down and would not get up or do anything until that fear and dread dissolved. If I was standing, I would stand there till the fear and dread dissolved. He had fear and dread. He knew it was there. He didn't worry about it. He just waited with it. Whatever he was doing, he just sit, be still whether walking, standing, sitting, or lying down, until that fear and dread dissolved, knowing that it wouldn't last forever, and it didn't have to overwhelm him. Wonderful advice. So we can do that. We can sit still, look at our fear, and sit still within it, and look and see what are we really afraid of? Are we afraid of sickness and death? Or the sickness and death of somebody we love? Very understandable. Quite normal that we would be afraid of those things. And yet, sickness and death are an inevitable part of life. We all get sick sometimes. We're all going to die eventually. There's a good chance of it. It's not really a problem. It's just the way things are. This is the way it is. We can be afraid, but we can sit still in the midst of it. We don't have to see it. The fear is a problem. As long as we don't act on it and start getting wildly upset and angry and so forth, it doesn't help. Are we afraid of change, discomfort, uncertainty? That's very understandable too, not knowing what's going to happen. Again, yeah, we can understand that. And we never know what's going to happen, actually. We might think we are, we know, but we don't. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Things change all the time. It's just a little bit more obvious sometimes than at others, but it's actually just normal. So, we can work on accepting this, accepting the impermanence of everything in our lives, and trying to do the very best we can within it. Seeing that everything arises, abides, changes, and passes away, to see that we arise, abide, change, and pass away. To entrust ourselves to the flow of change, the flow of life which contains both life and death, this endless flow of life. We arise, we abide, we change, we pass away within that. It's not a big deal in a sense. And of course we're human, so we get afraid and we worry, and the people we love may be taken from us or we're taken from them. But if we can just see everything taking place within that great flow, we're not so afraid. We don't have to cut ourselves off from life and from other people, even if we have to keep a physical distance at present. And just as a little caveat, of course, remember that this virus is not a death sentence. Most people survive. Many people have very few symptoms. It's not a terrible thing. But for a few people, it's very serious. So that's why we're taking care, so that we can safeguard everybody, help safeguard other people who may be more vulnerable than we are. So we don't have to be living in stark terror of imminent death. But to bear in mind, it's always good to bear in mind that we're all subject to life, birth, old age, disease, and death. It's part of the deal. And to just do our best to accept that, sit still within it. So when this fear, whether it's our fear or somebody else's, or many people's, or when there's anger or blame, whether ours or somebody else's, let's just practice stillness and faith as best we can, and offer compassion and kindness to other beings. Try to look with a long view, to remain still beneath the waves of change. A long view, sitting still underneath all those waves of change that come and go on the surface. Trusting that which is greater than ourselves, this is what we try to do. Trusting in the great matter, that which is greater than our little immediate circumstances, the Buddha, the unborn, undying, unchanging, indestructible, that which sustains everything, Buddha nature, however you want to call it. We entrust ourselves to it. We keep coming back to it. And we keep going on with a bright heart as best we can. And this bright heart in the midst of all conditions is the gift of fearlessness, the gift to ourselves and to other beings. And that's our talk for the day. I wish you all well. Take care of yourselves. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.